I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So you think my singing's out of time? Well, it makes me money, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Pete's here.
Hello there.
Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke is visiting our American cousins.
Yes. Mm. Big Cuzzy Moore.
Big Fuzzy Cuzzy Moore.
Oh, God, he's going to eat badly out there, isn't he?
I would imagine.
He'll have ballooned terribly by the time he gets back.
He'll finish his portions where most Englishmen wouldn't.
You hear that, Luke? Luke's probably one of the few ramblers who will listen to this show when he's on holiday.
I listen.
All right.
I listen.
Two ramblers who will listen to this show on his holiday.
And I still remember the Vietnam jibes.
Can't remember. Oh, yeah. A sex tour.
Yeah. Mm. What if I reminded you all of that? Yeah. Anyway,
rather than denied it.
You're laying really down a barrage thing of jizzy.
Luke's
jizzy
in America.
Marcus is jizzy in Nepal.
Let's have some comedy about that, Peter.
What?
A bit more about Luke in America.
Oh, Big Apple.
Yeah.
He'll finish big all of that.
He'll eat that.
He's not even fat.
Yeah.
Not even fat.
Is he the Frank Lampard of the show?
If he was my height, he would be fat.
Yeah, he would.
But he's not.
Did you think?
Yeah.
I think that's very harsh on Brother Luke.
I don't know why we're suddenly reviewing Luke's body.
No.
That's the least of his problems. That's what comes out of his mouth, usually.
Hey.
Let's get this show on the road, shall we?
Eden Hazard.
Yes.
He was pictured DJing, wasn't he, at the Belgium Fan Family Day that the team put on.
He's a diminutive chap.
Yes, their team they haven't started a qualifying campaign just yet. I think it starts next month. So they put on a fan day, which is quite nice to see.
Lovely old job.
And he was behind them decks. Who from the world of football would you fancy as a DJ? Jim.
Well, you may remember that Dion Dublin's invention, the Dube, was not simply just for bands, but also for DJs. So obviously I'd go with Dion Dublin purely because I want to see what a Dube does and keep forgetting to Google it and find out.
Well, yeah. But you can't do two at the same time, can he? You can't DJ and do the Dube.
I reckon he could.
Do you reckon?
We know he's got a third, you know.
What do you think?
I imagine it's prehensile.
What do you think the D stands for in DJ?
What,
dube jockey.
Yeah, you dube jockey.
It was a sort of cube affair,
yeah,
wasn't
a dube.
It?
Mm.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously, yeah. But he would sort of tap away
at
the old dube and get one hell of a rhythm and beat out of it. I think you'll find. Good start, Jim.
Thanks, mate. Excellent. Thank Dion Dublin. He invented it.
Yeah. Peter.
I would go for super duper winger Ryan Giggs. Because he was great at putting it in the mixer.
No, that's fine.
It's just, you know, just simple.
Yeah.
Don't need to, you know, dwell on it. Don't worry about it. Put it in the mixer, which is where the two CD decks would go.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, in a mildly similar note, I would go for Paul Scholes. Because I'd like to see Tall Paul and Small Paul go back to back.
Nice. Thanks. Very 90s theme, though, especially with the idea of CD decks. I'm imagining all of this taking place at the Lee Sharp Barbecue.
What do you reckon Hazard was playing, though?
Probably some absolutely awful sort of Euro pop.
Scooter.
Scooter! Yeah, they were brilliant.
Yeah.
As in awful, but brilliant all the same.
For a bit, Jim.
For a bit, for about 30 seconds.
For the first half an hour of a house party, Scooter on.
He's shouting Scooter over and over again, and that is literally it.
I'm raving, which is I'm walking in Memphis. I believe the cover that he did, which is wonderful. Good old Scooter. He's still fine, I'm still busy.
Imagine he's still absolutely massive in mainland Europe.
I mean, we're criticising him. He's the one with the big old pool.
Well, exactly.
I imagine.
Yeah. The kidney shaped pool.
Scooter! Swimming now!
Speaking
still
of
having a brilliant time!
I was DJing last night and a man came up to me and said, turn the shit off. And then about 5 minutes later,
it was Scooter.
Yeah. Was this in your Absolute Radio show? Which just barged into the studio.
Turn the shit off. It was after a Kasabian gig, and I was DJing, and he said, turn this shit off. And then he came back 5 minutes later and requested my favourite song.
No!
Which is gutting, which is absolutely
which
gutting.
Which is?
It's The Rap by The Waltman. Okay. It's up there. It's up there, definitely.
What were you playing that he thought was shit?
I think it might have been a Block Party Katy Perry mashup. So, in retrospect,
yeah. I'm team him. Excellent, excellent. So, yes, there was an international break. We bloody love an international break.
I don't. There's too many matches and it's too confusing and it makes me have to work twice as hard, quite frankly.
Mate, it's ITV4, just record it. You do it in an hour. That's what I did.
Too many matches. What about the normal weekend when you've got the FL72, the PL20?
Yeah, but usually highlight the ones that you want to talk about. That's the thing.
That's what we've done here.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty much all of them, to be fair to Pete.
There'll be no mention of Denmark versus Armenia.
Well, there should be, because Nick has bloody Bentner set up a goal in that game.
Exactly.
Let's not forget him, just because he's gone to Germany.
Oh, yeah. So we've kicked off with a game I thought we were going to start with.
When one of us isn't here, we just become like schoolchildren.
I think so.
It doesn't matter which one.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about this.
I'm going to link it all
the way. Can we do the Game of Thrones thing again?
I'm going to link it all the way back. The Denmark flag is quite similar to the English flag, which is quite similar to the Swiss flag.
England got a cross on it.
England played Switzerland.
Yeah, we did.
And I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, we won, and it was enjoyable.
We were good.
We hit them on the break.
We hit them on the break twice.
Yeah, it was. And even in the first half, before we'd actually scored, they just looked solid, and like we never looked like losing.
Yeah, I mean there was obviously the odd mistake in there. Jones let I forget his name, Seferovic in, and I think you'll find that's correct pronunciation. And
but Joe Hart stood up tall though. Yeah. And Joe Hart is part of the team. You know, we need to see him playing well. So that was good.
Even
that
was good. His feet.
Yeah, but England, I mean, starting Delph was a brave move, but although he did...
He had an enjoyable evening, didn't he?
Goodness.
My God. He had a lot of, I would think, fizzy drink before he went on, because he was like a kid at a birthday party.
The first 8 minutes, I thought, oh no, this could be, that was calamitous.
He played really well, but it was like he couldn't help himself.
Well, the first one, he should have got booked.
Yeah.
And he probably thought to himself, all right, ref, if you didn't give me one for that, you'll give me one for this.
Yeah. I want me one.
Yeah. I want me one.
The ref did say, didn't he, you've had your one pretty much. Yeah. I think he must have knew that it was his first start. But, I mean, he only played 20 minutes previously, or 25 minutes in the friendly, the very uninspiring friendly against Norway at Wembley. But he was one of the more livelier players in that game, which didn't take too much. But he slotted in, he played well, and obviously England played that diamond. Because it was interesting what he was going
to
do with...
Lovely to see the diamond back.
We like that, don't we?
Mm. Hoddle-esque, you must be delighted with that.
I am! I am, because I think he's obviously seen what Liverpool do with Sterling at the tip. Mm. And Welbeck, he can play wide, but actually sometimes when he's coming in central, he can be effective. Mm. And what Welbeck and Rooney did quite well, Welbeck did it certainly very well, it was they would go and cover the fullbacks.
Yeah,
because Sterling's in the centre there, and it's slightly withdrawn. Run. It's quite an odd one, really, for the Swiss back four to kind of cope with. You've got Sterling breaking forward from a central position, but the two front men are sort of popping out wide a little bit, coming inside, always giving them something to think about.
It was just nice to see like a method put into action.
It was
just
kind of fluid.
Like, yeah, they just sort of thought, well, this is how we're going to play. It wasn't just a big scrappy mess where people didn't really know their position. It's clear that there's a bedrock of kind of education in this kind of England lineup. They know that. I mean, most teams at international level, certainly like the Germans and the Argentinians, they play players out of position all the time.
Yeah.
And they're expected to just kind of slot in. The England players, because they are very kind of... They're not the most cultured footballers.
They take
a little bit more time to kind of get their heads around their new positions to a certain extent. And I think it's great to see a lot of players playing slightly different positions than what they're used to in their club side.
Yeah, and it was good to see that Jordan Henderson was... not freed up in a sense to gallop forward, but he's certainly he's not the man to play just in front of the back four. Mm. I mean, he can kind of do that job, but you want him all action,
yeah,
getting up and down and stuck in and whatnot. Because but he has got a bit of craft as well. He's not just an engine room type player, although he's very good at that. But England, I mean, we saw what Jack Wilshere was saying, that Roy Hodgson's giving them homework in between in between international matches, mm. and they're going away. And he said he was given an array of clips from the guys at the FA, mm. the team that do that, the editors at the FA, whatever you call yep. them, of players like Mascherano and Pirlo as well, to look at that and say, mm. right, you're going to be playing this position for this particular game. Who knows, maybe going forward, will he, won't he? But you'd imagine he may be used there again. Look yeah. at these players, study that. Mm. And I think Gary Cahill was saying as well that in the England training camp, obviously, they have their meetings, and Hodgson will give them all the instructions, and they have debriefings and whatnot. But he said, but also the players, off their own accord, are having little meetings themselves
yeah.
and watching videos and having discussions about the tactics and strategies and how they're going to play.
It does seem kind of amazing that this wasn't happening before, but it is excellent that there seems to be that spirit there and that togetherness.
Well, would it happen under Harry? Would it happen under Harry?
I don't know, because... yeah. Well, you don't know what goes on in an international camp, do you?
No, but you would figure that you know, with that many people away for that amount of time, that they would do that anyway. But the fact that you know that they are doing that is really encouraging for how much they care, because that's what they're always accused of not caring anymore.
Yeah.
Harry Redknapp himself was saying that recently. And obviously, if they're doing that, if they're breaking up into these little groups to discuss their positions together and their relationships with each other, that's really passionate. You know, that sounds like they really do care
yeah.
and actually really want to get this to work. And it was a brilliant performance. And it reminded me that watching England can be fun. It was way more enjoyable than any game at the World Cup,
yeah.
which is ridiculous. And I don't think we'd have won that game at the World Cup.
Yeah, and it's probably one of the more difficult matches we're going to face in that group,
easily,
really.
Yeah, easily the most difficult. Switzerland away, without a doubt.
Well, yeah, they said, you know, they haven't lost there for, 4 years in a qualifier, and it was the last time was to England.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Switzerland are no mugs. I mean, they only just got edged out of the World Cup by that very late Di Maria goal.
Mm.
They're ninth in the world. Yes, no one's suggesting for one moment, oh, here we go, the English thinking they win the tournament.
Absolutely not.
But coming, you know, we needed a performance like that, and we needed a result like that, and we got it.
Yeah.
And the dickhead quotient right down. Like, the England squad just look like a watchable unit. So I'll watch that. They look like nice lads.
Yeah.
They look nice lads.
But do you not think, though, that some of the England players... they're very aware at the moment that people are down on the national team.
Yeah.
You could say they've been for a few years. At 2010 World Cup, they weren't. There was a different feeling going into that tournament. Euro 2012 was an odd one. But now, some of the bigger players have been taken away. And I think those players, that are probably why they're getting together, thinking, right, let's try and put this right. Because England... even in 2010, as you say, went into the tournaments, and some people probably thought they can do something at this tournament. I think I might have done as well. Whereas now it's kind of like you've gone out in the first round of the World Cup. Mm. You're down in the doldrums, and these players are looking at each other going, let's get this going.
Well, the challenge is different now, isn't it? The challenge isn't let's go out and win something on an international level. The challenge now is let's get people to care again.
Let's get better.
Let's get people to get behind us and like enjoy this and help them enjoy it, which, you know, it's something we all miss about England. We've spoken about it many, many times. We haven't had that in a long, long time, and this can only be a positive. I also think Wilshere is an interesting choice to play at the base of the diamond, because, you know...
He's very attacking, isn't he?
Yeah, but I don't know, but people would look at that and go, he's not a typical defensive midfielder, but I don't think he's meant to be. He's very tenacious in his tackling, and also his range of passing when he's on form is very good. So, you know, to have him playing a sort of Pirlo Modric style role, of everyone in the squad, that might not be the worst shout.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, really, someone like Carrick might be better suited. But yeah, does Hodgson, is he looking to youth now?
It seems that way. I think Clive Tilsey in his commentary said that this is the second youngest England squad, or average age, or possibly first team that you could find.
Blimey. Another little fact as well is Fabian Delph became the 72nd Aston Villa player to have played for England, which is more than any other side.
That's surprising, isn't it?
Yeah, Liverpool the second with 68 players that have been capped for England. So well done, Aston Villa.
Odd. Mm.
Yeah. Stones was at right back.
Yeah, did well.
Now, again, it's encouraging to see that a guy who hasn't had too much, well, first team experience, really. Came in and did a decent job. I mean, it wasn't perfect. There was the time when the ball was slipped through and Cahill brilliantly got back and cleared off the line. But as you say, Jim, you're playing
away. That's part of the game as well. Yeah, exactly. We need them to be able to do it. If one of them fucks something up, then another one's got to come and sort it out. So let's not be too critical.
Yeah, that's right. The first goal off was a lovely one. Nice fluid move.
In off the shin.
Love that.
Lovely shin.
I love Danny Welbeck. He looks such a likeable lad.
He does look like a likeable chap. But my opinion on him's actually changed quite a bit recently.
I bet he has.
Like a lot of Arsenal fans. It's taken me a while to get my head around him being an Arsenal player. It still doesn't quite seem real to the point where when I try and picture him in an Arsenal kit, I can't even picture the Arsenal kit. But yeah, I mean, his second guy in particular was very, very well, well
great
taken.
Great, yeah. Ricky Lambert with an assist.
Well. Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone was getting in on it. Yeah. You know? All we needed was Beckham applauding from the stands. It could have been complete, wouldn't it?
Raheem Sterling's looking, his haircut is looking more and more like Janelle Monáe. You know, Janelle Monáe, the wee singer. Just a singer.
Sorry, we're too old, mate.
No, never mind.
We don't have to pretend to keep up with popular culture like you.
No doubt there'll be people listening and nodding right now.
It's just kind of getting pushed to the front of his head. It's kind of up and across like a strange kind of Elvis, though.
I'm all for that.
I was thinking about Raheem Sterling that one of his teammates, maybe it was Jordan Henderson, actually said that he said the great thing about Sterling is he's completely unaware of the expectation and all that kind of jazz around England.
Right.
Well, he's got three imaginary children to feed. He's got a lot on his plate.
But I just sort of wondered about Sterling because I think he's... I mean, obviously he's a fantastic player, but he comes across actually, again, quite likeable in some of the interviews. He does seem like naive and all the rest of it. He's only 19 or whatever he is. And I thought, why is that? And actually, because he was born in Jamaica, wasn't he? And I think he was five when he came over. And he I don't think he knew who Paul Gascoigne was. And I thought, that's maybe it, that he hasn't been, you know...
He hasn't grown up with a height.
Yeah, perhaps his family haven't watched England as much as maybe some of the other players and the mates and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, well, maybe more of that's the key. we need to nick players from abroad, is what I'm
Everyone
saying.
Everyone else is doing it.
Yeah. I mean, no, of course he's an Englishman, but he's absolutely fantastic as Sterling. And the way sometimes...
I mean, he got a bit of criticism from Andy Townsend, and, you know, make of that what you will. But you know, he didn't have the most effective, like, by the standards that we've seen him at Liverpool, but he was a nuisance. He caused them a lot of problems.
What a ball, though, to Welbeck.
Absolutely.
I think Glenn Hoddle made a good point that if you're going to play that role, you need to know when to arrive into that space. It's a very, very canny observation from Hoddle, talking about Sterling.
Actually, is that in regards to the ball in from Danny Welbeck that he didn't quite connect with, where they were both, they just misread each other?
Yeah, well, okay, so that would be an example, but just when there is space there, which there will be if Rooney and Welbeck are kind of going off and making runs, the space is hopefully created for that attacking player to burst into. I mean, Frank Lampard was an absolute genius at that. Obviously, Scholes was, and you point to one or two others. But Sterling, you know, he's got a lot of footballing education ahead of him. And with his just raw talent, it's exciting times for him.
You forget how young he is, and that's kind of
just outrageous. Thing,
like you said there, 19 years old. I mean, how many complete footballers are that kind of
The worry, though, is there is a lot of expectation on him. The fact that there are people
he's unaware
like,
by this.
I know he is, but the fact that there are people like Andy Townsend saying, oh, he should be doing better than they're a player of his calibre. Like, he is 19. You know, if people keep saying that about him in the press enough, it will start to get to him, so hopefully people will shut up and let him develop.
People forget that Andy Townsend wasn't like the best footballer in the world.
No, I don't think people do. I think they're reminded of it by the fact that he's not the best commentator in the world.
Well, he was a good player, but I mean, he can still have a fair comment on somebody.
Absolutely, everyone has their right to their opinion.
Take us, for example, did you enjoy the moment when the ITV pundits got watered on by the
I did enjoy that.
System?
It's in the loo.
It's more that they saw it coming, and they still didn't move out of the way. They didn't think about sort of maybe moving towards the camera, away from the spray of the water. But it's just enjoyable.
But they took it like Englishmen.
Is that their own like?
There's your
very
pride.
Tiny ice bucket challenge.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Charles nominated the three of them, and the sprinkler man went, all right, I'll get them. You know, that was perhaps that. I mean, that would, as people are saying, that's possibly the most exciting it'll get for England in the group.
Yeah, there are some unenticing fixtures coming up.
Well, yeah, I mean, Estonia, Lithuania, Slovenia and San Marino, but...
Those are them.
But then, I suppose a positive you could say would be that Hodgson can afford to have a bit of... not practice sessions, because that's very disrespectful, and away trips to the likes of Slovenia and Lithuania are not a foregone conclusion.
No, absolutely. They're very difficult places to go, actually. But
he can
San
try.
Marino
he can experiment, though.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to be said, though, for like handing out pastings to teams, for for picking up the confidence of a team, and just for them to find their rhythm in terms of, you know, the way to goal. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Rooney's got to be thinking, oh, I can break that record. Mm.
He had a good game, Rooney.
Yeah, better.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he gets a lot of criticism when he doesn't, like, pull up trees, but he, to credit where
he's
due, he
did a couple of
well.
Raking balls, and it's like, they stay too high in the air for too long, and it just gives the defenders a chance to kind of regroup and reset. It just, it completely, you've got a really pacey counter-attacking side, and then when Rooney picks up the ball and rakes a ball right across the field to whoever's on the right or the left, and it's just a waste of time. Well, you've just killed all momentum for me.
Well, against Norway, when Welbeck came on, he linked a lot better with Sturridge, and they did look much more mobile and fluid. And there is that talk of Rooney, does he kind of upset the balance a little bit? But then in the big games, like you look at that Uruguay game, he was the one who really went, right, come on, we need this. Now, a slightly different side, a different setting, I take the point, but
it's just hard to sort of like it's just hard.
It's now such he's a got, tricky one,
but also now he's got the captaincy, he's undroppable. Really, it's kind of I find that very.
It's a difficult one, isn't it?
It's a difficult one. It means he has to be on the field all the time, and it's just and physically, I don't think he can take it.
It does kind of imply that there was never really any danger of him being dropped in the first place. But also, I think he just needs to be angry again. Do you know what I mean? He was better when he was furious.
On the edge of a booking.
Yeah, maybe like
red card.
Maybe before the game, Roy Hodgson needs to get like every single one of the squad to point out one of Rooney's flaws to his face. So just to really
to
wind
his
him up.
Flawed face.
To his awful flawed face.
Yeah. My goodness. England are going to play Scotland in November, aren't they? Up in Glasgow, so Rooney red card might be, especially if Scotland get their independence. My goodness,
yeah, maybe
that'll be interesting.
That should be what decides it. If Scotland can beat England, they should be able to go free.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we should get to keep them. Is that how it works?
It's a Scottish custody.
Well, yeah, less said about that, the better, perhaps, on the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. Group A, we saw the Czech Republic beat the Netherlands 2-1. First time in only 3 years the Dutch have lost a qualifier.
Absolutely shocking mistake.
Oh, no, a cushioned header that went wrong by Yamat and off his own post.
That's my boy. That's my Newcastle player. That's my boy.
Oh, dear, Peter.
Oh, dear. Mm. Hey? Lovely hair, though.
It's a shame Tim Krul wasn't in goal, because he probably read that a bit better. Maybe.
Yeah, or up front.
Maybe.
Yeah, either or. I did enjoy the first Czech goal.
Oh, God, yeah. They hit both posts. Yeah. That is just... That's beautiful.
When a player cuts across the ball like that, and it sails in it, he's a thing of beauty.
Mm. Stroked.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Van Persie said recently that he wants to play at the next World Cup in 4 years' time. And I did like what he said. I will be 35 then, and I will do everything to be there. I live quietly. This saves a few years.
some eardrums could probably do a lot of running for me.
Save your throats. Is there any young players you want to play at the World Cup in Qatar? Save your throats, I would say. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Also in Group A, Iceland beat Turkey 3-0. Turkey were down to 10 men for large part, but what a great result for Iceland. I mean, I will say it, I've said it once, I've said it again. Estimated population of 325,000, similar size, population size to Coventry. They're the most overachieving nation in world football.
It's amazing, yeah. 3-0 as well, a comprehensive defeat. I know Turkey were, down to 10, but still.
They're ahead of Italy in the group now.
They've got a real chance.
Going back to the Dutch, okay. 3-5-2, all the players hit 3-5-2.
Do they?
They want to go back to 4-3-3. I don't know why 3-5-2 has become the big boogeyman.
It's funny, isn't it?
The Dutch boogeyman, like the children at home in bed, worried that weep for the 3-5-2 coming for them in the night. It's interesting.
I just want to be a fullback.
But I'm so exposed.
Only one of you gets to play on the wing now.
They got pretty far in the World Cup with that system. I don't know why they're so... Is it just they have to graft a bit more?
Well, yeah, but that was Van Gaal's doings, really, wasn't it? He did chop and change a bit, did Van Gaal. I mean, the 3-5-2 system was very popular in Serie A the other season. It sort of pops up every now and then. I mean, it's a handy system as well, but it is odd, isn't it, how if certain people... Certain teams are trying and it doesn't work out. They sort of persevere. I don't know. It would be interesting to see what Van Gaal and Manchester United do.
Didn't Steve McLaren try that with England?
with Terry Venables' influence.
Yeah.
That was away to Croatia.
Is that the one where Paul Robinson air kicked the ball, he missed the ball, and it went off a divot?
Yeah. It wasn't really. Because playing a conventional back four all your life and then going to a back three takes a bit of time. If you're going away to Croatia in a crucial match, and Croatia would... I mean, it's a good side now, but they were particularly good.
They were excellent,
It's not the best of ideas, is it? Yeah. Play it simple, for crying out loud. Play for the point.
And that was true without hindsight as well, I think it's fair to say.
People were saying that before that happened. People were saying that just as the first whistle went.
Yeah. But the frustrating thing for Gary Neville in that game is that divot.
That's an ungoal for him, isn't it?
It's awful. It does. Although he's having a great time in England, isn't he?
Yeah.
Good man for the job,
he is,
I think.
Actually.
Group A. There you go. What about Group B, where Wales beat Andorra 2-1?
Mm. What was going on with that pitch? Did it have artificial mud underneath it? Every time the ball rolled, this black, like...
It was rubber. Right. So it's basically
it's like the 3G. Balls. The little rubber balls.
It's like a 3G pitch that you'd play down the goals or any other...
You'd know this, James, if you ever played for the Ramble. We usually play on a 3G.
You have not played in ages.
That's true. Jim, you've played on a 3G before.
Yeah.
Trust. Gareth Bale said it was the worst pitch he's ever played on. The Welsh have been charged by UEFA, saying that there was a pitch invasion. But I think the conditions were quite cramped, so it was one of those ones where the fans sort of spill onto the pitch when the celebrations go. It happened with England versus Sweden in Euro 2012, the match we were at, although we were in the wrong end, famously.
It's a speller booking the tickets.
Love those Swedes. The fans, because England fans were piling in that end, wasn't much control.
No.
When the goal was scored, obviously, there's a little bit more of a...
Off their face on lavender, non-alcoholic beer. Yeah. I am pissed.
Yeah. Sure, that's non-alcoholic, but go with it. Because there's obviously a bit more of a sway and a jostle when the goal goes in. The front row sort of...
That's like the crowd's version of a slip and a dink.
This way in a jostle. The first row sort of spilled onto the running track, I think it was in Kiev, which is deemed a pitch invasion, which I think is a bit
ridiculous.
Poor. I think there should be categories of pitch invasion.
Right, okay. Like running up to the goalkeeper and punching him, that's a big no-no.
That's category A.
That's category
pitch,
A,
pitch invasion. Spilling onto the pitch side.
That's a stand burst.
That's a category C pitch invasion. Yeah. Category B is when... I don't know, in between.
It's stopping the game, surely.
Yeah, stopping the game.
Yeah, category E's a dog.
1967, Wembley, that was category A plus. With Scotland fans on the crossbar.
That's a naughty one.
I don't know, some of the Brazilian ones, where the fans get on the pitch and beat up the players, they're surely category A.
Yeah, I think you've left pitch invading and you're just breaking the law.
Well, there's certainly a
pitch invasion is breaking the law, but you're talking sort of GBH sort of stuff.
It's so bad it leads to an entirely new crime.
What about those fellas in the 90s who used to try and parachute in? Idiots.
What fellas?
They'd try and get in on the pitch.
I fancied that for the World Cup, didn't I? That was my...
Jimmy Jump doing his best.
Jimmy Fall. Or whatever. they're going to be charged. A shame, because they were rather jubilant when Gareth Bale saved their blushes.
They got quite lucky with that free kick as well, because it had to be retaken.
Yeah. I mean, Andorra, of course, they went 1-0 up. It was their first competitive goal in 4 years. And I was watching it and... Your malevolent side's thinking, oh my god, wouldn't it be hilarious if Andorra got a point here? But of course, I wanted Wales to win.
Me too.
Because, I mean, they're a home nation, but also they've got a decent squad there.
And I'd love to see them at the Euros. Yeah. I'd love to see as many of the home nations as possible there.
Totally.
And for them all to be in the same group.
Yeah.
Even though I'm sure that's impossible.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the top two, of course, in the qualifying groups go through, and then the best third-placed side also goes through automatically, and then the third-best teams... going to a playoff.
Right.
So Wales
You'd
got
imagine
a
lot of the home countries would be able to get in, I think, on those rules.
Because, like, Ireland, obviously, they've done better recently, but same as Scotland, they've quite often just about missed out by sort of starting badly and rallying late. And they've obviously, they've all started well this time, and if they can sort of continue the form they've had, as I perceive it at least, then they should be able to sneak in, and I would bloody love it.
Yeah. Well, Wales are in a group with Poland and... not Poland, sorry, Belgium and Israel. So a bit tricky.
Yeah.
And Bosnia-Herzegovina. Excuse me.
But they lost.
Well, they had a fantastic result for Cyprus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lovely old smash and grab, that was.
Yeah.
Edin Dzeko's first game as captain.
Good. I know. Like, they've come off the back of the World Cup. And it's a shame, isn't it? Because you want Bosnia to do well because they're one of the smaller nations. But when Cyprus have a result, like, you can't begrudge.
Yeah, I mean, how small are we going? Yeah. You're really backing it. You've got to back every underdog. Sealand have a team, you know, you back them.
That's right. Orkney, you know.
So. Yeah.
Well, Jersey, I mean, they could probably have a team.
Well, Gibraltar are in
there
now.
There we go. There's the ultimate one, perhaps. I mean, there's about 30,000 of them. Basically, if you play football and you're in Gibraltar, you've got a chance.
It's amazing. I mean, we should nationalise ourselves.
They were hammered, 7-0 by Poland. But we'll get to Group D in a moment. But was it Christofi, the Cypriot chap up front? What a game he had. The second goal he scored, the way he took it, the way he latched onto that, powered through.
Because he had ages to think about that and mess it up.
Absolutely top draw. As a fat lad once used to say.
Just high on life.
Like, just unbelievable. I mean, that was Ronaldo, Messi-esque, what you like.
I think it was a smash and grab to a certain extent.
And Bosnia missed a last minute penalty.
Well, they missed Bosnia were cruising a lot of that match.
Missed a lot of chances.
But then they just missed a lot of chances, and you got to take them chances.
Don't you just, Bosnia.
At that level against Cyprus.
That's right. Well, Bosnia one place above England in the FIFA rankings. They're 19th. England are 20th at the moment. It's quite funny, isn't it?
Yeah,
but it's probably
don't mind it.
But, you know, that's kind of better than normal when we're, like, third. Like,
yeah,
more accurate,
no one understands why.
Yeah. Cyprus are 140. But I had a look at the rankings. Poland are 61st.
Really?
As if there's 60 better countries at football than Poland. Yeah.
Well, not qualifying for a World Cup does have a big effect on it, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, we've talked about the rankings before, haven't we?
They should have to do the rankings, and then some normal man on the street have got to go in it and go, what?
Yeah.
No, don't be stupid.
If you can't explain it to the first person in the street you find within 5 minutes, go back to the drawing board. It doesn't work.
Find another algorithm.
I like the thought of just a normal man.
Yeah, just a man. Don't really like football. Oh, OK.
Excellent. Group D, Germany 2, Scotland 1. My goodness.
I know.
My goodness.
Scotland are great.
But the way they lined up, though, it was so fearless. They just went for it. It was great.
Yeah, it really was.
Well done, Strachan. Brilliant.
I think the goalkeeper could have done better on Germany's first goal. I don't know why he was off his line. It's a real shame.
Yeah.
Because they were so spirited.
Germany haven't sobered up, have they?
No.
Argentina came. Yeah, we beat them with. Oh, crap. Di Maria played. Di Maria gave the best performance that's ever been on a football field by an individual. The pass for the first goal alone. So Scotland turned up, and I don't know what Germany were playing at. I mean, Scotland were very, very good, don't get me wrong, but Germany shouldn't be scraping a 2-1 win at home there.
No, but credit to Scotland, come on.
Much credit to Scotland, but this is the best team in the world.
Yeah.
Scotland's goal was brilliant.
It was a great goal.
Was brilliant.
It was,
all up his legs. Perfect finish.
And lovely ball before that as well.
Yeah. Lovely ball from Fletcher, was it?
Yeah.
Who turned and slotted him in. But Anya came through Glenn Hoddle's academy in southern Spain, I think.
Oh, that one where they take the old football, the footballers who haven't quite made it and recycle them effectively.
Yeah, basically.
That's brilliant.
He's done a good job there.
Yeah.
Well
with
done.
One player.
Well, there's probably a few more, but to see him scoring on the international level.
Yeah, the.
I know. Yeah, Naismith, it was a shame he went close.
Yeah, he did.
Naismith had such a great start to the...
Royce is out again.
Oh, man, yeah.
He's having an awful time.
I know. Sidney Sam was called up for this one, but was an unused substitute.
if you
don't play him, you will get run close.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Why would you leave the finest gunslinger in the West on the bench?
Mulgrew sent off at the end.
Oh, he had been a wee dafty.
I know, but, like, he's not trying to time waste, is he?
No, it's mental, isn't it?
Oh, it's just good for the goal average. Get out.
Yeah, I'm just furious.
I know, it's a bit of a shame, the Republic of Ireland, they beat Georgia 2-1. Aidan McGeady, that skill.
Yeah, Aidan McPele, where did that come from?
Aidan McGideon, that was, what a bit of skill. As I think it was Hoddle that said, the first touch is correct, the second touch to knock it out of his feet, and obviously the finish was sublime.
It's one of those ones where you have to watch it two or three times to work out how he's done it.
Bergkamp-esque.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. And like Hoddle even said after the game, you know, that annoying thing that pundits trot out all the time. Well, you know, if Zola or Bergkamp had done that, we'd be talking about it for years. But it's like, the thing is, those players did this all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not going to go like 30 years down the line. Mm. Like, oh, do you remember that one goal that Aidan McGeady scored that was amazing?
He did score a good goal in the opening day of the season.
He did. And also, he scored a good goal in that match aside from that one. Know what I mean?
He's having a lovely old time.
He certainly is.
The Evertonians are, they are presenting themselves
it's
very well.
It's credit to Martinez.
Yep.
These players are playing above what you would have expected, I would think.
Yeah. Stones as well, as we said.
Yeah.
But yeah, great win for the Irish, especially, you know, tricky first game away to Georgia.
Yeah.
To get the win is so crucial, especially in the last minute. It just gives everyone such a lift, of course. And from what you were saying about the home nations and the Republic of Ireland, it would be great to see them all go through, or it could be the home nation Scotland and the Republic of Ireland by the time the tournament comes around, of course.
I see Shea given fancying a match. Yeah. I've not played in a while.
Weird that.
The trouble is they are in a group with Germany and Poland.
Yeah.
So it is going to be very, very difficult. Germany, Poland, Ireland,
they're
Scotland,
hoping
Jordan.
On the third place there, aren't they?
Yeah, I'd say that was one of the more tougher groups, certainly. But what about the Northern Irish? Mm. They're in with Finland, Romania, Greece, Hungary and the Faroes. I mean, a good win for them away. Again, that old tricky away trip, quite similar to the Republic, a tricky away trip, first game. And they turned it round, and with a goal right at the end from Carl Lafferty, who set up the equaliser and bundled in the winner.
That's a great one.
I wasn't sure if it was his or not.
No, it looked like an own goal to
but
me.
But take then it away from,
one
from him.
From one of the angles, it looked like he got like a toe on it as well. So
you
it's
just,
really
you can't
tell.
Take that away from
no.
him. You know what I mean?
Unless you can score it, in which case you shoot.
Yeah, because it was such a beaut, wasn't it?
Yeah,
oh, what a pity that didn't go in by your hand.
Was that their first away qualifier win for 4 years or something?
I think so.
Like that.
But the equaliser was an amazing team goal.
Yeah, it was.
Because it did, the quality of it looked very low as a match in general until Hungary scored and Northern Ireland were like, you know what? No, we're going to have this.
Yeah.
And they played it along the deck really, really well. Really smart, brilliant team goal that any international side would be proud of.
Yeah. As I say, marvellous win and it really does get them going. And again, it would be great to see them there. Great to see them there. In Group I,
that sounds weird.
It does. It really does, Jim, doesn't it? Portugal love a playoff, don't they?
No, they don't. And that makes it all the more hilarious.
I know. 1-0.
What are they doing?
1-0 to Albania. About Albania.
At home.
At home. I just don't get it.
I mean, you know, what I loved so much about that was the way that the Albanian players' celebration seemed to say, well, it's just Portugal at home, isn't it? it's not easy to
they've
come
done
to their
this
place.
Again.
Not hard.
If it's not us, it'll be someone else they let themselves down in front of.
It's just our turn, boys. Don't get carried away. Doesn't mean we'll be here good in the next match.
Yeah, what a volley it was.
It was brilliant, yeah.
Absolutely class volley. Cristiano Ronaldo must have just been like that for crying out loud.
Can I play for Spain?
Yeah. He doesn't play, and it's just. And if he'd have played, there's no way they'd have lost that game.
It's a lot of criticism of Bento for just sticking with players like Raul Morales and Veloso as well. They just haven't been performing for the national team. It must be so frustrating to be a Portugal fan. And thinking back to Euro 2004 and the World Cup 2006, I welcome that.
Yeah. That's right. Don't forget the Euros. Three tournaments in a row, wasn't it?
Was it three in a row? Oh, it feels like it, doesn't
it? No,
Euro 2008. We weren't actually there.
Yeah, 2004 and 2006 it was, you're right.
Not that I'm bitter.
There we are. Now, France, they're hosting the tournament, of course, in 2006. They don't need to qualify. Frank Ribéry, he's retired from international football, missing the World Cup through injuries. Well, now, it's a decision that UEFA president Michel Platini, probably former FIFA president as well, he's just not happy about this. And he said that players retire from international football quite regularly, don't they?
They do.
We remember a number of
things. Right.
Well, John Terry currently has done that, Ashley Cole as well. And, you know, not much is said about that. Frank Lampard's another one. And Hodgson sort of says, well, if you change your mind, then obviously we'd give it consideration and whatnot. Whereas Platini, not involved with the French side, he's the head of all European footballing activity, has said it's not up to Ribéry if he retires from international football or not. It's up to the manager. And if he does this, I'm going to give him a 3-game ban for Bayern Munich.
Well, he's injured, isn't he? So,
but that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's outrageous. Well, they did this with Clive Makélélé as well. A few years ago now, but it's just outrageous.
But is this just because it's Platini?
It certainly looks that way.
But that shows massive personal involvement to a particular side.
Yeah.
Which is shocking.
Yeah.
Absolutely shocking.
It's almost like they're a bunch of corrupt dickheads, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, has he not heard that, like, a lot of people announce their international retirement? A lot of people do
that. This is it. I mean, Platini played a game for Kuwait before the end of his career.
He's just sitting there like an outraged bullfrog.
He's one to talk, isn't he? He went to play for another national team. Come on, man! You know, what are you playing at? Absolutely outrageous. The quote was great as well.
How about that?
Because he said he defended his decision by saying, this is defined in the FIFA statutes. If he does not come, he's suspended for 3 games with Bayern Munich. I don't understand him anyway. He's French at the European Championship in 2016 will take place in France.
That's not an unreasonable point, but it's not your decision to make.
Ribéry knows this.
It's terrible.
Oh, my goodness. Dear, oh, dear. Moving on to, staying with international football, there were international friendlies involving Brazil. They beat Ecuador 1-0 the other night. Their second successive 1-0 win, which will be a welcome sight to many Brazil fans, I'm sure. Hey, boring Brazil, they might.
Dunga's back.
Dunga is back, yeah. Williams scored. They beat Colombia 1-0. Neymar scored a lovely free kick. He came in for the usual treatment from the Colombians. unbelievable. But yeah, Dunga's back. His ideas and tactics are not revered much in Brazil, this we know. But he does command respect from many. And Fernando Duarte was saying that, the Brazilian journalist for The Guardian and many others, was saying that even though it is Dunga, actually, there's a man who's won the World Cup as a player. And also, his team in 2010, if it wasn't for a capitulation against the Dutch, they should have progressed in that tournament. So I think it's, while maybe Brazil has a look at itself from coaching upwards or whatever it may be, Brazilian footballing revolution, whatever that means, takes place, you need to get a man to come in and really
steady the ship for a
really
while.
Turn the screw and tighten things up.
Absolutely.
It was, we can imagine if Colombia had battered them 3-0 or something. It would just been, just when will this ever end?
I mean, it's interesting that they've gone for going back to a previous manager again.
And an unpopular one.
Yeah, it's odd.
In certain sections of the media.
Well, all of them, pretty much.
Maybe they're just making their way back. They've gone Scolari, Dunga, I don't know who would be next. It was Scolari for so long. Mario Zagallo, I think, in 98, probably.
They had a succession of managers for a while, didn't they?
That's right. Menendez.
Yeah.
Mano Menendez was there. And
Vondely Luxemburgo as well for a bit, if I remember rightly.
Oh, is that right? Blimey.
Well, there you go.
Well, there's a certain name that I might like to throw in the mix.
Of course you would.
Manage them, but it's a bit predictable. Falcao came on late in the game, nearly equalised for Colombia. Manchester United, I love this, have come out and refuted claims that Falcao lied about his age. I remember Luke mentioning this on a previous podcast. The rumour began when he was accused for doctoring his age so he could play at the Under-20 World Cup in 2005 whilst playing for River Plate. Falcao is said to be 2 years older than he claims. His official age is currently 28. Yep. So we shall see. This is an outrageous fact about Falcao. He made his senior debut in the Colombian second division at the age of 13.
Or 15.
Or would you think he was doing it earlier?
Surely.
I'm 30.
13.
Make your own minds up.
I mean, how big is anyone at 13? Like, 13.
But the accusation was around 2005, so he could play in the Under-20 World Cup. As a 13-year-old or 15-year-old, surely you've not got the foresight for that, have you?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure there are powers around him that might. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. Make your own minds up, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll wait for facts to surface. Now, back in England, QPR could be in massive trouble. They face the possibility of being relegated all the way down to the Conference unless they pay a £40 million fine for breaching the financial fair play rules. We knew this was coming in, and people suspected that QPR might bear the brunt of that. But, imagine if they went all the way down.
But isn't it only if they're relegated from the Premier League?
Is that right?
It's something
weird because of
like
the
that.
Championship.
Yeah, because it's a Football League thing, isn't it? But also, Tony Fernandes made a not unfair point, which is that it's because they've been relegated from the Premier League, so their wage bill was massive. Mm. And had they been like in the Championship before then, it wouldn't have been that big. So it's difficult to then... You can't cut all of your players' wages if you're paying them a big Premier League salary. And they fell afoul of it because of that. That's his argument. I mean, it's the same for everyone else, though. So you've got to manage your finances properly. I mean, you can't be paying those players.
You knew it was coming.
Look at Portsmouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they didn't get hit by the fine. They just kind of...
They melted. I think
they did it to themselves.
That's what really hurts.
Yeah, indeed.
Luke.
But it's one of those things of the financial fair play rules. Everyone's aware of them, and everything's like, okay, how's it going to pan out? And then Manchester City, there was talk of them and whatnot. And then when suddenly that headline hits, you're like, whoa. Oh, I said that. Now you're talking in a negative way. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Bloody hell. It just got serious, Jim.
It's suddenly a real thing.
Yes, exactly. Tony Fernandes also said that he'd hate to lose Redknapp to England. No one's talking about that.
Nobody's saying that.
That's not happening.
No. Has he forgotten what year it is?
Yeah, that's safe. Don't worry about that. Do not worry about that. Pete, we're going to talk about... we're not really going to talk about Newcastle United, are we? We're going to talk about Mike Ashley.
Okay.
Yeah, his
popular chap.
Sports Direct Company have been selling Newcastle United branded rucksacks. No doubt you've got one.
Mm.
And Fulham is written on the zip tags.
Tee-hee. Keep it classy. He was selling, Sports Direct was selling, like, black metal T-shirts inexplicably.
Really?
For, like, kind of those kind of, like, those kind of, like, Norwegian kind of death metal bands. It's either black metal or death metal, I can't remember. But really sort of hardcore, crazy music.
It's
unlistable music. I'm not really sure, to be honest. I think black, it's something about the rhythms they use. Anyway, and they must have just got a lorry full and they just distributed them to the separate Sports Directs. Not realising that on one of the T-shirts was they were a far-right Nazi band.
No.
And it was a burning synagogue. It was just like, they're selling these in Sports Direct around the country. Incredible.
How he makes money.
He's a billionaire, isn't he?
He's a billionaire. Yeah. That's probably why he's a billionaire.
It's amazing. How are we not billionaires? Ask everybody upon hearing that
Hey,
fact.
I've got some new T-shirt ideas, guys.
A billionaire. Hasn't he bought the naming rights to Ibrox?
Well, I was going to say, Pete, you've been saying that for
a while.
Is
it just going to say Fulham on it?
Celtic. Like, his PR agency go, we've covered the previous ones, but that, you know, just as well it was Fulham, the most inoffensive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's quite a nut, isn't it?
Sunderland.
Yeah. Bloody Bennett. Absolutely hilarious. What about this? Robbie Fowler's applied for the Leeds United job, and Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank has also said he's interested.
I love that idea.
Indeed. Do the Leeds fans, though?
I think they're just depressed now. I don't think anything can
At least it'll be interesting.
Exactly.
It's a temp job at most, though, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Try them both.
At the same
time. Put them both in at the same time. Whoever does best keeps the job.
Yeah.
Whoever does best gets the last 10 minutes of some sort of lower league match against, you know.
Well, anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'll do nicely. So there we are. There we are.
Are we not going to mention that Big Sepp is saying he wants to run again?
Well, he is, isn't he? He's unchallenged, pretty much, isn't he?
I think he might. I think he might be challenged. This
isn't in England now. This is the FIFA House.
Sorry, I just figured we should mention.
That's fine. Lob it all in there. Because Platini said he's not gonna have a go. Because clearly, you know, if he can smear Sepp can certainly smear him worse.
Absolutely. I think maybe that's why Sepp keeps running, because there's nobody who could oppose him that he doesn't have loads of
dirt on.
Yeah.
Everyone that gets over a certain level at FIFA, he's got it. You know, he's got them by the ghoulies.
If not, he can put it on them.
They must have stuff about him, but like I say, he'll just have more stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Platini's really fancies that job, and he sort of thought to himself,
he's biding his time, isn't he?
But as we've said before, you know how old they go on for.
Exactly.
Platini would be like, you know, spitting in the lift controls so the lifts break and he has to use the stairs, just hoping against hope.
Maximising
Sepp is going to have a sudden problem with his heart or something.
I'm fairly certain there's more than one Sepp Blatter.
And is he like the Phantom?
Yeah.
It's like a hydra. You cut off one of his heads and two grow.
More bullshit spouts out of it.
Excellent. Any more?
I'm all right, thanks.
We're done.
Okay, well, let's go to Pete's Mystery Voice Game.
Yes, Pete's Mystery Voice Game. Oh, it was a difficult one last week, wasn't it?
It was.
Mm. Oh, goodness me.
When he got it.
Actually, I need to apologise to like a bazillion people, the Alexi Lalas one. People were writing in, but they were either spelling Lalas slightly incorrectly or they were using punctuation after the word Lalas, and I only searched for Lalas without the punctuation. So, if you could do us a favour, if you've got the idea and you've got the spelling right, write it in the subject line, and then you can write whatever else you know. Write whatever else you want in the email, abuse, whatever, and we'll read that out if you get if you're one of the few who win. But just put it in the subject line, so I can just search the subject line, and then it's nice and easy for old Pete, because goodness knows I like it easy.
Yep. If you do have any abuse to give Pete, then do email abuse to Pete Donaldson at
That's not a real one. But yeah,
we'll be by the end of the day.
So apologies to people.
We
who
should set up abuse at footballramble.com. It would save us a lot of time.
Yeah, it's called Luke.
He usually gets it. Big mouth, big ears. Right. This was last week's clip. And it was a difficult one. It was. It was a toughie.
I'm not sure. Did anybody get it?
Yes. But a lot more people didn't get it.
Okay.
Sunji High. Racists.
Well, they
Vincent
were
Tan,
right.
Racists.
Okay.
It was clearly a Japanese man. It was clearly a Japanese man.
Sorry, I thought that was the answer.
No,
that's why I went,
No, well, you're racist then, if you think that's...
How's that racist?
It was Japanese.
Yeah, but it's a guess. Okay. Like with the Dutch one, I guess the Dutch one.
I go to Japan all the time. I understand the differences in the nuances of the language.
That is clearly a northern Japanese accent.
What, between China and Japan? I think you can tell a difference.
Yeah.
Can you? Well, you can't, because you said... Vincent Tan and Sunji Hai.
Marcus
Malaysian.
Yeah, stop calling our listeners racist.
No, Sunji Hai is Chinese.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that.
Racist.
Just get on with it.
A lot of people went for Nakamura, Shinji Kagawa, Honda, Nagatomo. Most people went for Nakata, actually, which is quite interesting. Koriwa Machigai Des. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong.
They see?
Wrong. Sam Wildblood went for Gary Lineker.
Yeah, but there's
It works.
Hang on.
It works.
Yeah. That's racist.
It works on very few levels.
No, he played in Japan. That's racist.
Oh, and then you suddenly know how to speak Japanese.
Because he thought that was a curvy ball from you. So he thought, hang on, I'm not falling for that, Diggory Donaldson.
What's Jake Arden's excuse? Meador.
To be fair, it's a short clip.
Yeah, all right.
I'm not having it.
Don't dissuade people from joining in,
game. I'm not. Matt Hepburn said, Shinji, you cunts.
Oh, no.
Bit rude.
Very rude.
He needs to be dissuaded from getting in touch again.
Yep.
It was, of course, the Hyogo Hitman, which is a nickname I've just made up, but I'd love it to catch on. Shinji Okazaki.
Right.
Yeah.
Good.
It's obscure.
It's not that obscure.
But somebody got it, though.
He's Japan's third highest goal scorer of all time.
Is he, though?
With, like, 30 or something.
Right.
God, right. Robert Schulte. He got it. Congratulations, Robert.
That's Shinji Okazaki. Impressive.
He says, cheers for a fantastic shot. Cheers for getting involved and being clever clogs in that. Stephen Linden also got it. Shinji Okazaki.
Hang on, is there like an app that you play footballers...
voices in
there? Yeah, it tells you it
well,
is.
If there isn't, maybe there should be. I mean, specifically just for this game.
Let's create the market quickly before someone else.
And also Robin Smith as well. Congratulations.
All now friends of the Ramble.
Friends of the Ramble.
This game just descends into a list of names of men.
Well, no. What
women
I like about it is...
Well, you're sexist.
Well, they haven't yet, have they?
So we've finally found one footballer speaking that can only be guessed by three people. Everyone else has been an absolute bun fight.
Yeah.
Go on then. A scrabble.
Who have you got this week?
We've got this clip.
Gute Mannschaft bauen, ja? It's good. Sehr gut.
Oh.
Well. There we are. Mm. And how can
Gary
they...
Lineker again.
How can they enter this competition?
Voice@thefootballramble.com. Put your guess into the subject line and fill your email with any other glorious tidbits you fancy.
Gute Mannschaft bauen, ja? It's good. Sehr gut.
Excellent. Well, there you are, kids. Now it's time for your highlights of the footballing week with Jim Campbell in the absence of Luke Moore.
Hello.
You've had your bit.
Do either of you have a highlight of the week before we jump into this?
England,
Peter?
Shinji Okazaki.
Fair enough. Now, mine was that Hungary have a player called Gurgly Rudolph.
Lovely.
And I do not care if I'm pronouncing that
wrong. That is good.
Because that's wonderful. So, okay, for the highlights of the week from the Football Ramble Twitter account, at J underscore McAtish says, the perpetually apoplectic Stefan Lichtsteiner proving that the Swiss stereotype of mild-mannered neutrality is a lie. Fair enough. He was largely furious.
Oh, the paper scissors stone in the Scotland game.
Yeah, that was good. That came up.
I forget who that was with. Which two players it was, but a player from each side.
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't quite remember.
They're so sporting that they have to play games within the breaks of games. Which is great.
Brilliant.
So, at Tom Brayford says, hashtag non-league day, watching Carlton Town's keeper get beaten by a 50-yard effort, then a 40-yard lob shortly after, finished 3-2. That's brilliant.
Yeah, that is,
Stephen Dawson, 84, said, had a pasta bake. Fair enough. Good on you, mate. glad you enjoyed that.
Always pleasing.
At the Guru, 1988, says, the Spanish FA, pretending it's a coincidence that Suarez's ban ends the day before El Clasico. Hashtag ratings. Nick McGuigan says, using up my month's data allowance in about 6 minutes. Thanks for the auto download. Yeah.
Basically, we changed providers, which dictated that it's provided 250 or something episodes to your podcast client. I mean, who puts automatic downloads on their phone? I mean, really, that's crazy talk.
Yeah. I mean,
a lot of people, turns out.
I'd like to encourage the listeners to do this. Yeah. Because if they don't listen to the show, we get the download.
Yeah. I mean, if that has happened to you and you're annoyed about it, I do hope it's a silver lining that our downloads are going to be absolutely massive this month.
Any problems, just unsubscribe and resubscribe as well. There'll be a couple of, you know, problems we have along the way, but hopefully this will make for a slightly smoother thing. And the new way we do our system and stuff means that if there's a particular part of the ramble that you really fancy, for whatever reason, Marcus mispronouncing a Russian, for example.
Yep. Or an Englishman.
You can isolate that part, you know, like you do on YouTube. You can pick out a certain part of the podcast and then email a link to your friends and it'll go automatically to that place, which is a really useful function. And there's all kinds of lovely stuff to be added as we head through the year.
Yeah, your friends will love you, but they won't become friends of the Football Ramble.
No, absolutely. They've got to guess someone's voice.
And if you've got any queries about any of that kind of stuff, put a footballer's name in the title and send your email to voice@thefootballramble.com.
Shall I carry on with the highlights?
Oh, sorry, Jim. Yeah.
We've got @DS_North. Daniel Agger paying for the Danish homeless football team to go to their World Cup. Hashtag generosity scenes, which is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah,
I'm sure you all saw that story as well. That's brilliant. We've got Enigmatic Lima saying 3% of Iceland's entire population turning up to watch them demolish Turkey 3-0, which is fair enough. I'm sure that's pretty much bang on stats-wise. And finally, @AndrewPizzle says Barry Davies doing the Ice Bucket Challenge, absolutely magnificent scenes, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, so one more, which is R. Ashfield saying, has to be Zlatan's look of disdain at the Austrian touching him during a corner. I think we've all seen that. And the ensuing elbow.
They were too scared to send him off, apparently.
Apparently so.
I enjoyed the Arsenal Stonewall Rainbow Laces video. Genuinely the first bit of football PR that genuinely made me laugh.
Mm.
Just Santi Cazorla. Just doing a little shake of the head.
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And obviously the Ox doing the Ninja Turtles. I don't think he's ever seen the Ninja Turtles.
That franchise keeps on going, so he might have seen it, but certainly not in its pomp.
I'd never heard that before, actually, about him.
No, I hadn't, but it kind of makes sense when he does the eyes.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. No, a brilliant campaign. Mm. Anti-homophobic.
Such an anti-fuck. Anti-fucking.
Yeah. Well, have none of that on my watch. Forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. Clearly not what I meant.
Anti-fucking Cazorla.
That was Sepp Blatter-esque, wasn't it?
Wow.
But yeah, no, well done Paddy Powell for that. Mm. Zlatan breaking the Swedish goal scoring record.
Yep, and that guy's nose.
Got to mention.
David Alaba's nose.
Got to mention that. That's it. We're done, ladies and gentlemen. We're done.
We are.
If you want to get in touch, you want to just show at thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. We've talked about the mystery voiceover one enough. Pete, on Absolute Radio.
Yes, we do have a live Barclays Premier League commentary from the Stadium of Light. It's going to be Sunderland versus Spurs off the back of a bit of Liverpool shoeing. I hope Spurs turn up.
Yes,
I think.
Indeed,
so join Clark Carlisle and the fabulous John Champion in the place.
Wonderful, wonderful. That's it. Say goodbye, Jim.
England, well done, England, well done, England, well done, England. Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Korewa, machi gaides.
Goodbye from me.